We got a really fun first guest on High Velocity. He's a guy I've admired for a long, long time. He is a world traveler, entrepreneur, writer, blogger, author. Welcome to the show, Chris Gilbo.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So where in the heck are you this morning? I cannot keep up with you.
Yeah, I can hardly keep up with myself sometimes, but at the moment I'm in Little Rock, Arkansas.
I'm trying to follow. You're on your book tour right now, and I've been trying to monitor that, and it's just exhausting trying to keep up with this tour on Twitter. But anyway, so gosh, welcome to the show. It's really exciting to have you. Tell us about this book that you just put out.
Yeah, I just published a book called The Art of Nonconformity, which was loosely based on the blog of the same name, and I've been working on it for about 2 years, and so it's great to finally have it out in the world, and I wanted to kind of do something big to go out and meet all of my readers. I talked to the publisher about a book tour, and they said, oh, we don't really do those things anymore. We don't have any money for it, and I just thought, well, I'll do it myself. So I'm on the road visiting all 50 states, and I'll do every province in Canada in January, and it's just been so much fun.
And if I remember, you're doing all this like in 2 weeks' time, right?
2 weeks' time, not quite 2 weeks. It is pretty much back-to-back. It is pretty much one city a day, but it's over a few months.
Now, have you always been a nonconformist, or was there some big event in your life that just switched everything for you and you became a nonconformist?
I think I've always had kind of an independent streak. I think my dad was really good at encouraging independent thinking. He used to buy me a lot of books and just kind of encouraged me to do my own thing, so that was great. But, I mean, I think a few other things kind of solidified it more as I grew up. I've always kind of been self-employed. I realized I wasn't a very good employee, so I learned how to run my own business when I was about 20, and I've been doing that for 13 years now. And then I spent about 4 years living in West Africa. That was probably another experience that definitely helped a lot. So from 2002 to 2006, my wife and I were volunteers for a medical charity in Africa. So that experience was just very transformative and very good, and also kind of supportive of independent thinking and doing things my own way.
Now, this you have a continued passion for serving Africa. If I remember correctly, and excuse me if I have this wrong, but I believe the proceeds from this book go towards a cause that you're battling over there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So while we were there, I just became more and more convinced that one of the most important things we can do is work to bring clean water and sanitation to the rest of the world, especially to sub-Saharan Africa. So I'm working with my friends at Charity Water, a great charity, to bring clean water to two communities in Ethiopia. So it's actually 20% of the overall proceeds that I get from the book. And then on the tour, it's 100% of the proceeds for everyone that I meet. So everybody who's been coming out just writes their name in a notebook, and then we donate that money to the charity in Ethiopia.
That is cool. So tell us a little bit about the book. What's in this book? Why should we buy it? What will we get out of it?
Well, the central message of the book is you don't have to live your life the way other people expect you to, and you can do good things for yourself and for others at the same time. It's not a false choice. It's not a dichotomy. So what I've tried to do in the book is tell a number of stories. So I've got some stories about myself. You know, it's part memoir of living in Africa and traveling around the world and all those kind of things. But then I also got a number of stories of other people who have somehow like made their own unconventional choice. People who have made a big career move, people who have, decided to do something completely different. And so I write a lot about fear and pressure and, kind of overcoming things in order to take the road not taken, or to even, pave your own road. So I guess what I'm trying to do is inspire people to take action to create positive change in their lives. And so, as I've been going around the country, I'm just hearing different stories of people, whose lives are connected with the project in some way, or stories from people who are trying to take the leap and trying to go out and, do something unconventional of their own. So it's just been a lot of fun.
Now, you just said you've heard a lot of cool stories. What's been the most unique story you've heard while you've been on this tour?
One of the most unique stories. One of the stories of someone who's actually in the book, and then I met her the other night in Dallas. Her name is Susan Lewis. And a couple years ago, she wanted to make a career change. She didn't completely want to be an entrepreneur. She actually wanted to work for a company or an organization bigger than herself. But she was thinking, how can I get a good job? Because any job that I apply for that's worth having, probably going to be 100 other people applying for that job, and maybe on paper they look as good as I do. So she was trying to figure out, how can I circumvent the HR process? How can I, get around the idea of sending out 300 resumes or whatever? And so instead of doing that, she created a website called SusanHiresABoss.com, and she went out and interviewed prospective bosses. So she kind of flipped the whole process you know, on its head, which, of course, is very audacious. But at the height of the economic crisis, I think she received maybe 12 to 14 good job offers. And I talked to her the other night in Dallas, and she said she's still with the company that she ended up going to work for, or the boss that she hired. And it's just been a great experience for her.
I remember reading that in the book. That's almost worth the price of getting the book in itself. It's just a great story about just kind of taking charge of this thing. You know, you made a decision a few years ago to travel to every country in the world and to make it more complicated to do it in a fixed amount of time. Tell us a little bit about that decision, because then I got a follow-up question to that.
Sure. So I guess after I left Africa, I kind of did the math, and I realized I had been in about 50 countries. And I thought, well, that sounds good, but I've always liked travel. I've always liked goal setting. So I put the two together, and I decided, like, let's try to visit 100 countries. So I started working on that over the next couple of years while I was in school, and I kind of realized, like, over time that goal wasn't going to be actually that difficult, because I could pick and choose the countries, and, you know, I could go to easy countries or whatever. And so then, like, you know, a small goal grew into a bigger goal. So then I decided to try to visit every country in the world. So I've been working on that more or less for about 5 years, and I'm at 150 right now. Still have about 40 to go, but so far so good.
Now, the 40 left to go, there's some interesting places to go to, some war-torn, some provinces in former Soviet Union. You got some interesting places you still have to get to.
Yes, and some of them are difficult, not because they're dangerous or war-torn, but just because they're so far away. They're so, you know, off the grid. So there's a lot of islands in the South Pacific, a number of the Soviet republics, like you mentioned, just some places that are just kind of hard to get to. So it gets progressively more difficult, you know, as you go through the list.
Some of the most entertaining reading on your blog is not your actual adventures once you land in one of those destinations. It's the battle with the State Department to actually get the, get the visas you need to get there and all that.
Yes, and I also realize I'm not a very good travel writer, so I kind of leave some of that to other people, and I tend to write more about the process of the experience and the journey, and then I'll leave the destination writing to other people who can do it better.
Right. All right, so not everybody has a plan and a goal of traveling to every country in the world, and most people still get up in the morning, deal with rush hour, work a 9-to-5 job in a cubicle, and some of those people are actually happy doing that. Can someone like that still lead an unconventional life?
Well, of course, and I'm glad you ask. I mean, because for me, nonconformity is not so much about visiting every country in the world. That's a personal goal that I have. You know, I love the fact that I can do that, but that's not something that everybody can do, and I understand that. So when you said that people are happy, I would say for people who are happy, that's great, and I wish them well, and if people are happy and thrilled with what they're doing, that's really the goal, you know. The problem is there are a lot of people who are not happy, and there are a lot of people working at those cubicles who want to escape, or they want to do something different, or they're just looking for change. And so I would say there's definitely a way for those people, you know, to live an unconventional life. And so for me, nonconformity is first of all, you know, just kind of backing it up and thinking about motivations and thinking about, you know, why do we do what we do, and what do we really want to get out of life, and how can we, you know, make changes in our life to accommodate those goals, and then how can we think about what I call the fundamental question of contribution. What are we contributing instead of just consuming? You know, how can we connect our lives with others? So these kind of things are not confined to travelers or even to entrepreneurs. I mean, I think more and more people just living intentionally and trying to find a way to align their life with things that they enjoy and things that benefit other people is something that would be great.
Chris, so many of our listeners are aspiring authors and feel like they have a book within them, but I know that they also sometimes feel like it's a daunting task to take that first step. What advice, if any, do you have for the aspiring author to get that project going and to produce something that's meaningful and does make a genuine contribution, as you mentioned?
Sure. Well, it was a daunting task for me, too, and I think probably the most daunting thing was just getting started. Unfortunately, you know, procrastination and I are well acquainted. So I think once I actually, you know, kind of buckled down and began the process and really got serious about the outline and kind of creating some fixed deadlines around myself, and I created some deadlines where it's like fixed goals and deliverables where it's like, okay, every day there's a lot of things happening in my life, but no matter what else is happening, I'm going to try to write 1,000 words, you know, towards this mm-hmm. project. And they may not all be good words. I may have a lot of editing to do later, but I'm just going to try to, you know, crank this out, and then I can sort it out later. So I think just getting started was a big thing. And then also, you know, a lot of people want to write a book, but they haven't done a lot of other writing. Personally, I love the other writing that I do for the blog and different guest pieces and magazines and things. So if you can just start writing and begin becoming comfortable with the discipline of writing and begin just kind of making that a routine and a habit, you know, no matter where you are, no matter what else is going on, whether you have a job or something else, then I think that it definitely does get easier over time. I think you build some momentum, and you get to where it's a very like healthy addiction, to where like you look forward to doing it. Maybe like training for a half marathon. It's something that just becomes a routine or a pattern.
Well, you're a runner too, right?
I am.
It must be fascinating to go running when you're traveling all these countries.
Yes. Well, I try to. I mean, I do run, you know, at least 3 to 4 times a week, but my training has definitely lapsed a bit with the book tour. So I went for maybe a 50-minute run or so the other day here in Little Rock, but I think a half marathon would be pushing it a little bit for me right now.
That's a whole other book, How to Stay Fit on the Road. I mean, well, you know how tough it is on you and I, Todd. We go to a town, we do something for a few days, and there's all the bagels in the back of the room. And
yeah, I wish it was the bagels that I ate.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's more donuts for me.
Yeah, well, you got a lot of cupcakes on your
tour. That's right, exactly, yes. Right. So people have been bringing cupcakes out on the tour, although I don't get to eat many of them. I mean, that's one benefit or downside, depending on how you look at it.
Are we going to have cupcakes on Thursday night?
If people bring them, we will.
Oh, okay.
What's going on Thursday night? Tell us more about that, if you would.
Yeah, so I'm making my way towards Atlanta. In Little Rock now, I'll be in Oxford, Mississippi, and then Birmingham. And then Thursday night at 7 p.m., I'll be in Atlanta. It's actually at a place called the Urban Oasis. It's a bed and breakfast, but they also have kind of a shared space. It is, I think I had the address here, it is 130A Krog Street. So we're just going to hang out. There's probably going to be about 100 people or so. And I give a short little talk about the book. I don't lecture for a long time, but it's more informal. And then we just kind of hang out, and there's going to be a lot of fun people there.
So how can our listeners learn more about you, your work, and this book that you've put out? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you and learn more about this stuff?
Sure. Well, my website is artofnonconformity.com, or it's chrisgillibeau.com, but no one can spell my name, so I understand that. And if they just go there, or if they type nonconformity into Google, then they'll find me.
Chris, before we let you go, we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show. We like to ask each guest, if they would, to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career, and really, more importantly, what they feel like they learned from it. Could we get you to do that for us?
Yes, you could, and I've got a long list of mistakes, so it's going to be challenging.
Could be a longer show than normal, huh?
Right. You know, pretty much any mistake you could think of, both career-wise and travel-wise, I've made. In terms of travel, I've double-booked myself on tickets. I've failed to book a ticket when I needed to. I've been in the wrong place, you know, just all kinds of stuff. Business, the same thing. You know, I didn't have an MBA or anything. Nobody taught me how to run a business. I just kind of started doing things, and it worked out in the end. But along the way, there was a lot of sidesteps. At one point, I had this great idea for a business that had a golf membership that cost $1. And my thinking was, it only costs $1, so this is going to be fabulous because everybody's going to pay for it. And, you know, I'll make a lot of dollars and it'll add up. And a couple people advised me and said, Chris, how can you make a profit on $1 a customer? And I ignored those good questions. And then I figured out pretty quickly that, in fact, you really can't make a profit on $1 a customer. And so going forward from that, I had lots of little projects, you know, and that was one of them, and that was a complete failure. But I just learned, you know, to keep going and do different things and not invest a lot of money in different projects, because if one failed, it wasn't a big deal. So that was a terrible mistake. But then, you know, other projects ended up taking off and doing a lot better.
Well, you're very gracious to share that with us, and we're all much better off for the fact that you took that lesson and turned it into something that would help you and benefit us all. Chris, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show. I hope you'll come back and visit with us again sometime, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Atlanta.
See you Thursday evening,
we'll
man.
We'll see you Thursday, Chris. Thanks again.
All right. Take care, guys.